Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 235, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, my petition heed. Now help me in my need. My Savior be. I am thy servant, Lord. My trust is in thy word. Mercy to me afford. I cry to thee. 1, 2, and 3 of 235.
Thank you. The portion of God's word that we wish to read this afternoon, you can find recorded in the Gospel according to Luke, and of the 23rd chapter, the first 26 verses. Luke 23, but first we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation, and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, Thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fear, saying, He stirred up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him for a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And it came the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverted the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod. For I send you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all the one, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to relieve Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil had he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, and we read in thy word of that awful judgment, and yet it was all in thy providence, and all under thy guiding hand, and all for the salvation of thy church, all with the cause of sin behind it, and all with that final cause of thy own decree before it, drawing under thy governing hand unto that one final determined purpose of thee, and that thou might save thy church, and that thou wouldst glorify thy own great and holy and worthy name. And it is through all the cross providences and paradoxes in the life of thy people, and that thou dost so continue to lead thy church through a wilderness here below, and when they cannot understand that thou dost lead them in a way that they knew not, and in paths that they have not known, O thou knowest for them, for all their desire is before thee, and there is none of this that can be hid from thee. Thou knowest all their desire also in this very hour when they have come up in the midst of the congregation to thy house. Thou knowest thy own where that they are, and when we do not know them, thou hast known them from eternity, and they are often hid amongst the people, even as her did not dare to approach unto thee, and yet she did come pressing through the crowd in her need but to touch the hem of thy garment. O, we beseech thee, that there also may be such in the midst of us this day, that have come up with a cry, with a need, in the depth of their heart and in all their wretchedness and in all their felt misery, without God and without hope in this world, and despairing of ever reaching the requirements of thy holy law, from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. O Lord, thy servant did say, and this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. And we have also sung of it together. And thy pardoning grace is free. Sinners who call on thee, and they shall thy mercy see, O God above. O, give it in the midst of us in this afternoon hour, and that something of that pardoning grace may be felt and may be experienced in the life of those that are wicked and sinful, and who cannot make it different, who have to say with thy servant, the good that I would I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. O wretched man that I am, O glorify thy name, Lord, in the heart of such in our midst, Wilt thou make us all such because we are not by nature? And we need to be made so by thee, and that not only for the first time, but also by renewal. And therefore we beseech thee first. And when we have come up into thy house of prayer, O Lord, let us feel thy power on every side. The power of thy regenerating spirit to make of us a new man. That may live a new life, that may have new desires and a new will, that may flee all the world and sin and pride and covetousness and all that lays within our heart and that comes forth out of our hearts. O Lord, is it not thy purpose, and is it not thy end to bring in a church from the east to the west, from the north to the south, that they may sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God? Will they not magnify and glorify thy great and holy name forever and forever? And when they have been made known unto themselves what that wretchedness and the depth of their fall, and that they may know from what thou hast delivered them, and unto what thou hast delivered them, that greatest good, that they may be brought again into that blessed communion with thee, O the Most High God. Oh, that thou may remember each and every one of us, young or old. We will never seek thee, O Lord. It belongs not to us, but it is all belonging to thee. It is thy work, a sovereign work. But thou dost say that thou art a rewarder of them that diligently seek thee. Oh, make us such. Bind the seriousness of our life upon our hearts, that we may see what is our life. It is but a vapor. It comes and disappears. It is like the grass. It groweth up in the morning, and in the evening it dies. It perishes. A little wind goes over it, and it is gone. Wilt thou give us understanding hearts? That we between the cradle and the grave may be given to know the power of thy regenerating spirit and those desires that belong unto thy true church, that we may be brought as a Ruth out of the midst of the world with desires after the God of Israel, with a desire to join ourselves unto that people, in order that we may know their God. O Lord, wilt thou give thy people, in the midst of all their afflictions and all the trials and all the persecutions, that they may be an example, even as Naomi was in the bitterness of all that she had to suffer. O that thou may bring many into thy kingdom. Remember our youth and our children. Oh, there is so much that is drawing their heart away. It lives in their hearts because they are our children. But wilt thou become too strong for them in the days of their youth, that they might remember then their Creator, and that they may give their young bones in thy service? Care for the sick, for all the afflicted, and all those that have need of thee in special ways. Those that have serious diseases, him that did receive an operation in this week, and also others that recover from surgeries, and others that have received news of serious diseases. O Lord, thou great and thou heavenly physician, there are so many fears then in the heart of a man. And when that message of death is coming unto us, because we cannot die in that way we have been born, Oh, that thou may help them, that thou may remember them in their afflictions, and that thou may deliver them, O Lord, and use these ways, the callings for them and for all of us together to wake us up out of our death sleep, and that thou may remember all the widows, widowers, and orphans in the loneliness of their lives. Oh, thou knowest all the missing of husbands, of fathers, those that do miss loved ones both near and far. Oh, Lord, be near and dear unto them each and every day. Those that have become old, remember them in all their needs. Those in the Bethesda nursing home, remember them, thy servants over the length and breadth of this whole world. And wilt thou give an increase in their number, also amongst us in the time that is to come. Thy servant who will return unto the Netherlands from this area, O Lord. And we ask of thee also to go with him, but leave us and not behind. But wilt thou be with us, and could it please thee to give yet a man or men that may serve also in the community and among which we dwell? O Lord, that may bring thy word in its unadulterated truth, and that thou may give help, for thou knowest that we cannot do all of those labors. Strengthen us for our labors also here. Remember those that labor on the mission field. And wilt thou help them also from day unto day and their families? And wilt thou supply in all their needs? Lord, wilt thou remember all that are handicapped? Those that are blind, those that are lame, deaf and dumb, those that carry crosses in the midst of families where there is division, where there are sorrows, where there is divorce, where there is disagreement. O Lord, thou knowest all the misery we have brought upon ourselves. O that thou thyself may give love for one another, that we may bear the burdens of one another. And wilt thou care for the youth and the rising generation, their teachers, each and every day? Give parents faithfulness and ability. And wilt thou look upon us also in this afternoon? Help us, O Lord, strengthen us for our labors. And oh, do give unto us a little, that we may feel something of the presence and of the help of thy Holy Spirit in this hour. For without thee we can do nothing. O Lord, we ask of thee that we may know thy power, that we may have a little light, and that it may shine in the midst of us, that there may be a true magnification of thy great and thy most holy and worthy name, that man may be abased to the lowest, and that thy name may be exalted to the highest. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 141, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Gracious God, my heart renew, make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from thee, let thy spirit dwell in me. Thy salvation's joy impart, steadfast make my willing heart. Psalter 141, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. And the last collection today is for the Calvin Christian School. beloved congregation, the Lord, by the mouth of his servant Malachi, said unto the children of Israel, if ye offer the blind for a sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame or the sick, is it not evil? That was for that people a great temptation. Can understand that, children. If they had 100 sheep in their flock, and there was one that was lame, then it was a temptation to that people when they would offer a sacrifice to the Lord to give that lame one for the sacrifice, because that animal that had not much value unto them otherwise anyway. And that remains a temptation to man also to this day, that he will give the best unto himself, and he will give what is now left over unto the poor and unto the Lord. That was a great evil, because the prophet, he says, in the name of the Lord, offer it now to thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee? That was like the cities that Solomon gave to Hiram. And Hiram said to him, what are now these cities that thou hast given unto me, my brother? But it was for the children of Israel also a double evil. And why? Because the Lord, he had strictly commanded that the sacrifices that were given unto him upon the altar of the Lord, they had to be, and the Lord has said that over and over and over, that they had to be without blemish, that they had to be without spot. And why? Because those sacrifices, they were not just a gift, but those sacrifices, they were a picture. They were a representation of the great sacrifice that was to come. So that had everything to do with the salvation of that people. That had everything to do with faith. That had everything to do with justification for that people in a personal way. And therefore it was a great evil. And we see that also in the words of our text, which we want to consider with the Lord's help in this afternoon. Luke 23, the fourth verse. Luke 23, verse 4. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. So far the words of our text. No fault found by the judge. First, no fault found in Christ by an earthly judge. Second, no fault found in the church by the heavenly judge. No fault found by the judge. No fault found in Christ by the earthly judge. And second, no fault found in his church by the heavenly judge. I find no fault in this man. What is that? Fault. Do you have faults? Fault that is a liability for a crime, a liability for a sin, that we are to be held accountable for something, a fault that is guilt, it is blameworthiness. No fault in this man who says that is Pilate, that was the Roman curator, and that man was, at that time, they were also the judges of the land. And so we see that the scepter that has departed from Israel, and thus it is time that the Shiloh does come. So those words, they are spoken by a judge. That is a very significant thing. It is one thing if such words would be spoken by another man. He can give his opinion. But it is a different thing when those words, they are spoken by a judge, because that is a legal declaration, and that has legal consequences, legal ramifications. Pilate, he was a wicked judge. He was haughty. He was proud. He was willful. He was covetous. He was hated by the Jews. But it seems that the Jews here, they, as it were, make a covenant with him. They use him in their hatred for the Lord Jesus Christ. But now the character of Pilate, that does not change the nature of the office which Pilate held. And it does not change the validity of the declarations which came out of the mouth of Pilate when he sat on the judgment seat. The Lord, he says himself of the judge, of the magistrate, "I have said, ye are gods." Thus, he says, "You stand in my place on the earth." That's why it is a great offense when there is unrighteousness in the judgment seat. Great offense. Why? Because that judge is a representation of God on the earth. The same as that lamb that was a representation of Christ on the earth, so that judge, he is a representation of God in his judgment, in his office, carrying out the judgments of God here in this world. And therefore it is so important that all judgment that is within the church, that all judgment that is within the state, that be pure judgment, that it be an undefiled judgment, because it is a representation of God himself. And yet, Pilate's wickedness and his offenses did not annul, they did not take away the fact that God himself, he is speaking through Pilate. "I find no fault in this man." No, indeed, there was no one, not man and not God, who found fault with this man. The Pharisees and the scribes, they have tried many times. We read they came to him, they asked him questions, they had one desire. They went to him with that desire, an evil desire, that was to find fault with him. that they may accuse him of something. They could not. Every time again, then the wisdom of God that was made manifest. Every time again, they are disappointed. And finally, we read that they seek false witnesses against him, that they might accuse him. The conscience of the wife of Pilate that also bear witness, that she sends to him to say to him, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things in a dream because of him." Pilate, he is glad to hear that he is of Herod's jurisdiction. Get him out of his trouble, his predicament, sends him to Herod. And lo, nothing worthy of death is done in him. And now the Lord, he has so ordered it that Pilate himself, who must make the official declaration concerning him, does say it several times over again, "I have found no fault in this man." Thus, it is the official judgment from the judgment seat that this man, he will not die for his own transgression, for his own sin. That is now the comfort, that is now the hope, the expectation of the Church of God in all the ages of this world. It was for this reason that in the Old Testament already, that sacrifice that had to be without spot. We read the Lord Jesus himself, he declares to the Pharisees and to the scribes, he says, "Which of you convinced me of sin?" And we hear the official pronunciation even from heaven itself, the highest judge of all the universe. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Thus, in all of this, we find a very close examination of the Lamb. Even as Israel had to set it aside, and they had to examine carefully that sacrifice, so we see that this sacrifice also, that was over the 3 years of his ministry, and especially in the end of his life, and finally in the judgment, he is declared officially to be without fault. "I find no fault in this man." Isaiah, he has already a long time before, he has prophesied that this examination would take place, and he has prophesied what the declaration was going to be. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For his life that was taken from the earth, who had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. What a veil that is hanging over the eyes of the Jewish nation. when they refuse to see that this man is the Christ. But congregation, is that veil also over our eyes? Because if we never profit from this innocency of Christ, then we are also as the Jewish people who receive no profit from it. We see this further in our second thought. No fault found in his church by the heavenly judge. We soon hear another declaration. A declaration of the innocence of Christ. Listen, children, you know that declaration very well. And then you can hear a man. He is speaking. He says, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But," he says, "this man hath done nothing amiss." Pilate, he can declare the innocence of Christ. We can preach the innocence of Christ. You can hear it. We can all agree with it. But here is now a man who profited from the innocence of Christ. It was used for him. This man had done nothing amiss. There is not a man who has spoken it as a doctrine. That is a man who has spoken these words because it was precious unto his own heart. Thus we ask you, have you ever profited from the innocence of Christ? And if you say, "I have," can you say how you have? Can you tell us what happened in your life? Can you tell us what went before? How it took place? And what followed after? That is necessary. Why? Because religion is more than notion. Something must be known. Something must be felt. What is the first thing we read about this man? First thing we read was that he was mocking. Matthew writes, the two thieves, they were crucified with him, and they were casting the same in his teeth. Mocker, a wicked man, to the end of his life. To the end of his life? No, not to the very end of his life. How old are you? Is that impossible for you because you have become old? Here was a mocker, almost to the end of his life. But that was a man who was elect by name from eternity. And so it could not be to the end of his life. And as just before the end of his life, then the Lord comes. He has made a difference between those two men. A sovereign difference. And now the Lord says to that elect vessel, no more. No more. There will not come one word more of mocking out of his mouth. There is a change in his life. Was there ever a change in your life? Does not matter how old that you are, how young that you are. Does not matter. It matters, of course. But how wicked that you are. That work of the Lord, that is the same. The circumstances, they can be different. But the work of God and what is now the first thing, young people, what is the first thing? You say, how does the Lord work in the life of his people? You want to know? You can read it in the Word of God. How does the Lord work? Don't read too fast. You see what happens with this mocker. And the first thing that happens in the life of a person is that the fault becomes mine. Fault becomes mine. So let us stop here for a moment. Did the fault ever become yours? By nature, we point the finger at each other, at our neighbor. The courts, they are full of people that are accusing someone else. Starts already when our children are young, right? We do not disparage the right, the lawful use of the court. No, not at all. Not at all. The court that is a gift of God. There are countries in this world cannot go to the court. It's all upside down. There is no judgment. There is no justice. It's a blessing when you have a court. Gift of God. Where does that start? Parents, starts right in your home. Are you a righteous judge? It is true that our children, they can come with every little thing, and when they grow up a little bit, then they need to learn that they need not come with every little thing. We need to learn that too. That is why that the Lord Jesus, that is the way that he spoke about the courts. And when we read of the apostle that he says, why bring you something against your brother? Well, then they were really little things that they were running to the courts with. But that does not take away, you can read it in Calvin, that does not take away the proper use of the court. And fathers and mothers, that needs to begin right at home, because there are things that are important to our children. And then we do not say, well, you go solve it yourself. No, our children, they need to feel that there is righteousness and justice done by father and by mother. Although you are not just a judge, you are also a father and a mother. And that is different. Teachers. There needs to be justice. There needs to be judgment done also in your classroom. There needs to be justice done also in the church. There needs to be justice done also in the courts of our land. The Lord, He has admonished the children of Israel. And He said that judgment is far from you, that is turned away backward, truth that is fallen in the streets, equity cannot enter. He says, yea, truth that faileth, and the righteous man, the man who would depart from evil, he makes himself a prey. And thus the importance of that righteous judgment. The Lord Jesus, He stood before a wicked Sanhedrin. He stood before a wicked court in this world. There was none that knew wickedness in the court, church court and secular court. There was none that knew wickedness like Christ. That is a consolation for all who need to bear it. It is nothing new. It was ever since sin came into the world, and it will be until sin is cleansed out of this world. What is the solution to it? The solution that comes from the Lord Himself. The Lord, He says, that He looked upon it, and He saw it, and it displeased Him. And therefore, He says, mine own arm brought salvation unto me. He says, I will stand and I will deliver my own people. The poor of the land, those that are despised, those that are ridiculed, those that are persecuted, I will care for them. But He will not only deliver them from an outer enemy, He will deliver them from an inner enemy. And thus, He will give them instruction. And what is that instruction? That instruction is the greatest fault that lies here. The greatest fault that lies in my own heart. Here you have a man. He is condemned by the court for his sin, for his thievery, for his murderer, for his murder. And his brother in crime yet justifies himself, but it is now the mercy of the Lord that this man now begins in the moment of regeneration, then there is a great change. And there is now a condemning of himself. We indeed justly. We receive the due reward of our deed. Powerful work, isn't it? Can you bring yourself there? That is now a powerful work of the Spirit of the Lord, but a necessary work. Why? Because if you never receive this, you will also never receive the blessing that this man received. An inestimable blessing. But we want to consider that after we sing 217, all the stanzas. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. 1 through 4 of Psalter 217. I find no fault in this man. That was the public, that was the official testimony of Pilate as a judge. But it became the personal and most blessed testimony of this thief. This man, he had done nothing amiss. That was the fruit of the testimony of the Spirit of the Lord in the heart of this man. And that testimony that was coupled with that testimony of his own guilt, they went together. First the one, and then the other. We indeed justly. I find no fault in this man. The Spirit of the Lord does not open the sin of a man to him that he may leave him in it, that he may perish in it. But he opens it to him that he may deliver him from it. The truest judge of my sin, beside God Himself, is my own conscience. That is in everyone in the whole world. But it is because of sin defiled, even the conscience, and it is because of sin suppressed, but by the Spirit of the Lord is enlightening that conscience. And He is giving love in the heart of that man to draw him. And there is a consequence to this. And that consequence is this, that there is then by that true knowledge of sin, no person in the whole world that has more fault than I. We want to stop here a moment again. Congregation, we ask you this question. Did you ever, in your whole life, become the person with the greatest fault? The greatest fault. Did you ever become that man? It's true. You say more than the murderers in the prison? Yes. Paul was a religious man. He lived in all good conscience before God. He could say that. And yet he also must say with all his heart, of whom I am the chief. That is now the instruction of the Spirit of the Lord, even of religious men, of religious persons. It is now to such people of whom I am the chief, that the Lord is coming to reveal himself as the mediator and as the savior, as the deliverer of his people. And then they see something. Then they see a man who has done nothing amiss. Then they see a man of whom the Father himself says, I am well pleased. They see him. Then they see a man who has, by his perfect obedience, fulfilled all the righteousness of God. They see him. They see him by faith. They are views, however, that are not just in a vacuum. No, they are views that are coupled with that feeling sense of my own fault, of my own guilt. Thus, that innocence of Christ that is revealed to a guilty soul, that is an answer to his need. It is an answer unto his cry. The Spirit of the Lord is revealing unto that people what the Father, as that final judge, that he has said concerning his Son, I find no fault in this man. And then that eye of faith that may behold it, that ear of faith that may hear it, that is now imputed unto his church. When? It is imputed unto his church in the moment of regeneration, in the justification of that people, the actual justification. Then there is a change of state, and the Father, he is imputing that perfect righteousness of his Son unto his people. Do they know that then? No. But there comes a time when they also must stand before that judgment seat of God within their own soul. And when the Lord, he is making this application, and he is giving that appropriating faith that they may appropriate this innocence of Christ unto themselves. Faith, beholding the suffering of Christ in his innocence. In his innocence. This man, he hath done nothing amiss. And so they may behold him standing in the breach between God and my soul. What is then the experience of that people? In that moment, then that is a people who cannot find a single fault within themselves. Within themselves. That is really true. When they may behold by faith that blessed righteousness then they may see something which is overpowering all the iniquity and all the sin and all the guilt that they can find in themselves. And then they look and they look and they cannot find anything. It is all gone. David, he says, my sin is covered. You cannot see something that is covered. It is hidden. It is gone. Do you know what it is to have no guilt? You know it in a single matter. We would accuse you of murder. You would say, no, I'm innocent. Is that not blessed? To be able to say I am innocent. Is that not greatly different than to feel the guilt? Congregation, this is to be experienced in our life. Prophet, he says, thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. And that is true. That is true. As far as east from west is distant, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. We sing it. The prophet, he says, thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Not a single one. The Apostle John, he writes of those that have been persecuted. He writes of those that have come out of that great persecution. And you know what we read? You read that that white robes were given unto them. No, you don't. You read that white robes, they were given unto every one of them. They came out of that tribulation, we read, and we read that they washed their robes and they made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In the blood of the Lamb. In the blood of that Lamb who was so spotless that the Father had to say of them, of him, I find no fault. No fault in this man. And now that people, they receive now that white robe. And every bit of the sin of that people that is covered by that white robe. So that there is nothing that is to be seen of that sin and that guilt anymore. The Father does not see it. The Son does not see it. The Spirit, he does not allow even that people to see it. And so God himself, he beholds no iniquity in his Jacob. He beholds no transgression in his Israel. that is now the judge. Are you coming there? How soon will we stand together, every one of us? How soon are we going to stand together when He comes to judge the quick and the dead? Children, we are fast hastening to that great eternity. Oh, what would you give now for such a white robe, such a spotless robe? Are you afraid to die? Why? Say it is unnatural. That is right. It is unnatural. But it is guilt. It is guilt. And we cannot stand before our judge. Congregation, there is only one comfort. One comfort in life and in death. That is to know that I am not my own, but that I belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And now a person may experience already in his lifetime what it is to be without sin. Not the pollution of sin. That remains. But to have the guilt removed. Do we desire this? Do we seek this? It is to be received. We can read it in the Word of God. We can read it in the history of the church. We can read it as the portion of God's true people. They can say what has happened in their life. They can say what went before. They can say what followed after. And they can tell you the blessedness of what that is, to not be able to find a single sin. They can tell you of it. Oh, that the Lord may make us jealous, truly jealous of that portion, and that He, of whom it is declared, not only by an earthly judge, but also through Him, by that heavenly judge, I find no fault in this man. Oh, that He would become for us our all and in all. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, a white robe for every one of them. Oh, could it be that Thou wouldst not leave us out and our children, but that we may also receive it, that we would not be condemned on that great day. Oh, there is no one of us who can put our hand in our bosom and take it out clean. Oh, Lord, we confess it to Thee. We are guilty, guilty, guilty. Our sins rise up against us, prevailing day by day. O Lord, we ask of Thee, come Thou. Remember us with our children. We do not hear of the working of Thy Spirit. O Lord, we ask of Thee, that Thou may show that Thou art the same, yesterday, today, and forever, that it may be known and felt also among us as a congregation, that we may know and confess our own guilt, Bring it home unto us. Forgive thou all of our many sins. Lead thy people into thy truth. Glorify thy own name, O Lord. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Bring us safely to our places. Help us in the week to come. And wilt thou gather with us also in thy house in our sister congregation. In the midst of this week, be with all that must travel. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 281, 3 and 4. O my soul, bless thou Jehovah. All within me bless his name. Bless Jehovah and forget not all his mercies to proclaim. He forgives all thy transgressions, heals thy sicknesses and pains. He redeems thee from destruction, and his love thy life sustains. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 280.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless.